Good morning, Ron. Good morning, everyone. Happy, happy Sunday from Pueblo, West Colorado, where this morning we woke up with a very, very light blanket of snow covering the desert, just enough to make it look white and beautiful, but I don't think enough to last at all. In fact, as soon as the sun came up, it may have been gone. It wasn't much, but it sure was a pretty awakening. We are here, of course, for the Awakening Together Sunday gathering. And we always begin our Sunday gatherings by saying hello to one another, greeting one another. So, and I like to traditionally play the same song. I like to play the song Awakening by Deva Premal and Mitten. Or Deva Premal and Mitten, or however you say the names, I'm really not certain. I've never heard them said, but I do like their music very much. So I will play Awakening, a little bit of it anyway. And why don't you all say hello to one another? Oops, hold on one second. You know what I just realized? Hold on one second. I have a little thing here that I have to put on my phone, or my phone doesn't connect well enough to the stereo to play, and I didn't put that thingy on it. Let me put it on, and then you all will be able to hear the music. Otherwise, I'm going to be the only one hearing the music. All right, here we go again. I think. Here we go. All right, hello everyone.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in
so good morning, everyone. I saw Ron wrote winter, and, you know, our mind always interprets everything, but to me, when he wrote winter, it was just a beautiful acknowledgement of here, now, present, without any judgment of good or bad, just a beautiful acknowledgement of here, now, present. So, winter. I'm going to begin with our statement of purpose. Awakening together is an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. However, those words are purely symbolic, just as all words are. Some could point out that the idea of self is a false concept. Even a true self. They might suggest that we reword our purpose to say something like, we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one truth. And I would agree with them. Some could point out that the words one truth sound fundamentalist, as if we know something or have something that others are still missing. Lots of churches claim to have the truth. They might argue that everyone in reality is truth now, and everyone at least subtly experiences truth now, whether they know it or aware of it or not. Those people might recommend that we reword our purpose to say we are an assembly of equals with one true purpose, to realize what is. And I could agree with them. Their wording is also perfect. Whether we say our purpose is awakening to one true self, awakening to one truth, or realizing what is, for me, these words are all the same. They all point to one experience or realization, which we call awakening. Awakening is just a word. But that is the purpose of this assembly. This is why we gather. This is why we support one another, listen to one another, and respect one another. This is why we allow each one to be where he or she is. The purpose for everything we do is awakening, even if that word itself doesn't seem perfect. That is the purpose for everything we do as an assembly. And as an assembly, we have no other purpose. I'd like to share some announcements this morning. The first announcement, which many of you are aware of, is that we have begun offering our promised minister preparation program. I've started by making 5 classes available. It's a 2-hour class called Introduction to the Minister Preparation Program, which we call MPP for short. I'll type that in, MPP. And all 5 classes filled, and there's a short waiting list. That means we have 45 people who are registered for at least the first class, and then after the first class, the 2-hour introduction, they'll make their decision about whether they want to continue or not. 45 people is 20% of our membership, which I think is pretty amazing. And the very first time we offer it, 20% of the membership is saying they're interested in considering being a minister. I've offered 1 class, and of that 1 class, the majority of the participants have already written back saying yes, after the introduction, they feel called to be a minister. That includes at least 1 person who, before taking the class, wrote to me and said, you know, I don't think I want to be a minister, but I feel like taking the class. And I said, well, take it. And then after the class, he wrote back saying he feels called to be a minister. So sometimes the prompt may simply begin with taking the class. If somehow you missed the announcements that the MPP program was beginning and you're sitting there going, ah, shoot, I wanted to do that. It's not too late to get on the waiting list, and being on the waiting list may get you into the class. So far, everyone who's showed up on the waiting list has had the opportunity to move into the class because someone else canceled. So what you can do is go to awakening-together.org, the events menu, and you will see a link that says Introduction to the Minister Preparation Program. Just click on that, fill out the form, and put your name on the waiting list, and then we'll see what happens from there. Also, there are a couple other things on our website that maybe you're aware of, maybe you're not, but I thought I would point them out to you. Both of them are on the inspiration menu. The first one is called Featured Talks. Nikki Dobson and David Hempel listen to recorded teachings. Lynn Johnson does most of the recording, but they listen to recorded teachings from here in this room. And they select teachings that they feel are fully aligned with our purpose and value. And they post those teachings as featured talks. So if you don't have time to be in the room all of the time, and you wonder what you might be missing that might be something that you'd like to listen to, pay attention to the featured talks menu. And there you can hear some highlights. Another item on the inspiration menu that you might want to pay attention to is Awakening Together blog. The Awakening Together blog features articles by recognized teachers, sages, and masters, as well as by our members. And in fact, any of our members can submit an article to be posted on Awakening Together blog. There are submission guidelines, and if you just go to the Awakening Together blog link to that page, you'll find a link to the submission guidelines so you can look at them. The most recent article that I posted on the Awakening Together blog was by Timothy Conway. He will be one of our retreat leaders at our September retreat in Santa Barbara. And his article is about healing the idea of God, really. If you were raised with a judgmental God, a punishing God, a God that watched everything you did, and still the word God does not excite you. Every time you hear the word God, something in you kind of cringes. That's something that, of course, needs to be healed. Anything that cringes within us needs to be healed, including the idea of God. So Timothy Conway has written an article about healing that idea, and it is currently the most recent post on the Awakening Together blog, but there are several other articles there that have been posted previously, so please go and have a look, and if you feel like submitting an article, the submission guidelines will give you information about how to do that, and I look forward to reading any articles that are submitted. Also, I wanted to mention that on January 1, and this is an important announcement. I know sometimes when people are attending a meeting online, they might also be kind of glancing at Facebook or turning around and chatting with someone in their physical room. But I want to call attention to my next announcement because it's really kind of important to all of us, I think. So if you're doing something else, please tune in for a moment fully. On January 1, the name of this room is changing. For 10 years, beginning in January 2004, this room has been called ACIM Gather for A Course in Miracles. On its 10-year anniversary, the room is being transferred to Awakening Together legally, and the name of the room is changing to Awakening Together Sanctuary. Now, I know many of you probably enter the room because you have it saved on your favorites menu, and you come into Pal Talk and you just click on favorites and click on ACIM Gather and you're here. Starting January 1, when you click on favorites and you click on ACIM Gather, it's going to tell you no such room exists. So what you'll need to do is find the Awakening Together Sanctuary and add it to your favorites. And there are a couple of ways to do that. One, you could just search the entire Pal Talk room list for Awakening Together Sanctuary, and it should pop up with no problem. Probably even just searching for Awakening Together will find it. If you don't know how to spell sanctuary, it's not the easiest word to spell. Also, if you go into the category education and then go into the category other, there's really only a few rooms in education other, about three rooms, I think. So it'll be easy to find the Awakening Together Sanctuary there. You'll also see in that category the Awakening Together Meeting Room. That is a locked room with a code word. That's where we have our MPP classes is in that room. And it's locked so that only the participants are there. So if you happen to see it, you won't be able to enter that room. But the Awakening Together Sanctuary is an open room. Yeah, the radio is already supposed to be named Awakening Together Radio. We're told it still shows up under ACIM Gather. That may not continue to last. So we're looking at that right now, trying to figure out why it still shows up as ACIM Gather, even though we've already changed the name. So that one was a little more puzzling to us. So I can't be as clear as to when that will change, but at some point you will not be able to find that under ACIM Gather Radio. It will be Awakening Together Radio whenever we get the technical change figured out. So I think Jay and Lynn are working on that. That was supposed to have happened in June, so that one's a little late. Also, I just wanted to let you know that we have open member meetings the first Sunday of each month, and our next open member meeting is Sunday, January 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you have questions, if there's anything you want to talk about related to Awakening Together, that's the time to come. That's our open member meeting. Non-members, which we call friends are also invited. It's a time that you can ask questions related to the assembly, related to why we do things, if you're not clear and you want more information, related to what our governance is, who's in charge around here, if you're not clear and you want more information. You can offer suggestions for what you would like to see as a part of Awakening Together. It's also an opportunity to ask questions if you have spiritual questions. You know, like if you are having difficulty letting go of a judging mind and you want to ask about that, and you want to ask me because I'll be the one attending that meeting, it's an opportunity to come and ask those questions as well. Also, beginning the third Sunday in January, and then the third Sunday after that, we're going to have what we call Awakening Together Satsang. And the Awakening Together Satsang, I'm going to invite different spiritual teachers each month. So you'll get the opportunity to know some spiritual teachers who aren't typically in the room. That is my purpose, not to invite the ones that are here typically, but the ones who aren't here typically. And you'll get to know them a little bit and have the opportunity to ask them questions as well. So the a members meeting is the first Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And the Awakening Together Satsang will be the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And I do know who I want to invite for the first Satsang, but I haven't invited him yet, so I'll keep that announcement to myself for now. But I will announce it on Awakening Together News, which comes out on your daily update once someone has been secured for that first Satsang. All right, that's it for my announcement. So what I'm going to do is play our opening song. The opening song is one that I heard Barbara Dearwater play one day during her teaching time on Tuesday morning, and I immediately wrote it down and went and had it added to my playlist. It's by a Celtic woman, and it is called Stay Awake. So here we go.
Stay awake, don't rest your head, don't lie down upon your bed. As the moon drifts in the skies, stay awake, don't close your eyes, stay awake, don't close your upon your bed.
Let's go into prayer. Stay awake. Don't close your eyes. What that means to me is remembering my purpose. Which recently, 2 days ago, I took a new oath. And that purpose is to stay happy. And stay happy is defined as allowing my heart to always be open. Allowing my heart to always be welcoming. Allowing my heart to always be accepting. One thing I've noticed is that whenever there is a judgment that something shouldn't be, that something should be different than it is, there's a closing that happens. A closing that can't be described as happiness. It's resistance sounds to me like a better word. Resistance and happiness don't have that same feel. One is closed and one is open. Happiness, however, doesn't always mean laughing and giggling and smiling. There's something else that can be called happiness that can cry. There's something else that can be called happiness that can be unsure and allowing an unsettled feeling. Happiness doesn't need to control. Happiness doesn't need certain conditions in order to be present. Happiness is open. Happiness is accepting. Happiness is allowing. For me, happiness is patient. Happiness is kind. And as I use these words, I'm remembering, I think it might be the Bible, 1 Corinthians, maybe 2 Corinthians, it might be chapter 13, where it talks about love is patient and kind. So happiness and love would then be synonymous. Stay awake means stay alert to my purpose. When something happens, when an emotion is felt, when a thought is seen, and the idea of judgment, resistance, closure happens. Stay awake means relax. Relax. And allow opening to happen again. Stay awake means do not close. Stay awake means do not judge. Do not resist. When I took this oath, the oath was to be happy no matter what. And an example that was used by the teacher, Michael Singer, was what if you're committed of a crime you did not commit and you're thrown into prison for the rest of your life? Your oath is to stay happy no matter what. Be accepting of that experience. And I remember Peace Pilgrim, my inspiration, who was convicted from time to time, never of anything so serious where she would spend more than a night or two in jail, But when she was in jail, she was happy. She was accepting. I think if I remember correctly, she even at one point had the other women in her cell singing with her. Stay awake. This is something I'm willing to do, and I pray for all of us now, for anyone who is willing to, in whatever way their purpose is worded for them, anyone who is willing to always remember their purpose, I pray for those gentle reminders when we need them to come in the mind, to remind us of what we truly want, to stay with our purpose, even when, as they say, the going gets tough. Amen. All right, so the next thing we're going to have is a reading by Kathy Smith. However, Kathy attends our gatherings on her iPad, and, you know, we weren't as certain how speaking from the iPad would work. So what I'm going to do is call her on my speakerphone. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. So the mic is yours.
Okay. Good morning, my mighty companions. Glad to be here with all of you. So this morning's reading is from, or it's actually from a Sounds True recording that's entitled Thomas Merton's Path to the Palace of Nowhere by James Finley. In this excerpt, Regina says, James Finley is using the metaphor of getting wet in a river to show how realization of truth occurs differently for different individuals, but it is always the same when it occurs. So here we go. It seems to me that what immediately occurs upon entering a river is that you get wet. And I am here using getting wet as a metaphor for spontaneous contemplative experience that one gets wet. Now, what's so interesting about getting wet upon entering the river is that it doesn't matter whether it's the very first time you enter the river or whether you have entered it hundreds and hundreds of times, you get just as wet. A person doesn't enter the river the first time and come out just a little dampish and saying, I'll keep working on it. I don't think I know how to get wet yet. Likewise, a person who has entered the river hundreds of times doesn't come out dry and say, I ran out of turns. I can't get wet anymore. The river does not grant itself to me. I've used up my river entering tickets. Now, it is most likely and certainly true that the one who has entered the river many times may have a profound realization, understanding, and experience of all that being wet is. But nonetheless, from the very first time one enters the river, one is wet. It also doesn't matter whether one enters the river after living along its banks since birth, or whether one had to travel hundreds of miles to get to the river. One gets just as wet either way. It isn't as if the one who traveled hundreds of miles gets more wet as a reward for the hardship of the journey. Whether one lived on its banks or whether one traveled far to get there, in entering the river, one is wet. It also doesn't matter whether one enters the river after great and careful and determined deliberation to do so, or whether one fell in off the back of a pier. One gets just as wet. The one who arrived at the moment of entering the river by virtue of a courageous process of working up the courage to do so is not rewarded by getting more wet than the one who fell in. Likewise, it doesn't matter whether one enters the river in broad daylight or whether one enters the river in the secrecy of the darkness of night, a kind of closet river enterer that kind of slips in while nobody's watching. One gets just as wet either way, whether one enters in broad daylight where all can see, or whether one enters secretly in a darkness where nobody sees. One is wet. It also doesn't matter whether one enters all alone or enters with thousands and thousands of people. One gets just as wet. It isn't as if you get more wet if you enter all by yourself and you have the wetness of the river all to yourself. Whereas, if you have to share it with all these thousands of people, you don't get as wet. You get just as wet. It also doesn't matter what you believe, as if people of a certain belief system would get more wet than those of another belief system, or more wet than those who hold to no belief system. It also doesn't matter whether you be sinner or saint. One gets just as wet either way. We might call this the graciousness of the river, that she accepts all who come to her. Jesus says that just as the sun shines upon the good and the bad, so does God's love shine upon all of us. It is this graciousness, this oceanic benevolence, this non-discriminatory, overflowing generosity that grants itself perfectly as it grants itself. This is not to say that it is risk-free. The ego self is fragile. It cannot tolerate too much reality at once. We can find ourselves drowning in a depth of benevolence. We can find ourselves immersed in a generosity that we can't tolerate, that we cannot bring ourselves to bear. And in finding ourselves unable to escape from it, we're beside ourselves. Therefore, to find an experienced river enterer, one who offers guidance to us in the process of entering the river, to be a seeker of the contemplative way within one's own tradition, is to be one whose fidelity to river entering gives witness to what is most true within the tradition.
Thank you very much, Kathy.
You're welcome.
I'm going to hang up on you now.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Cindy Rust read that here in the room a couple of Wednesday mornings ago, and I fell in love with it immediately, and I asked her to send it to me so that it could be the reading for today. It says so much. In fact, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'll post it on the Awakening Together blog so that anyone who wants to can read it for themselves and contemplate it for themselves, because I think it's really, really wonderful, and there's no way that I can give justice to it through my speaking. I will do a little bit of speaking, but I think it's much better to spend time with it by ourselves. For me, what this reading well, what it points out in the mind, at least in my mind, is the judgments that I have or have had, and I would say probably all of us have had judgments about how to awaken. Either they're in the mind now or they've been in our mind in the past. You know, like one of the examples was, it doesn't matter which belief system you have. You know, when one goes into the river, they get just as wet. The river doesn't say, sorry, you know, you believe the wrong thing, therefore I will not grant my wetness on you. The river, you know, the river itself never says anything. The river itself never approves or rejects anyone. The river just is. And if we enter the river, we become wet. So there was a time when I felt that there were what I'm going to call right religions or right religious points of view and wrong religions or wrong religious points of view. In fact, my spiritual path probably started right there. I had two religious backgrounds. One was Southern Baptist, and the way I came about being a Southern Baptist was I was very young, I think 12 years old, and this desire to be close to God began to arise in me, and my family did not go to church, so I walked to the nearest church, which was probably about 4 or 5 blocks away, and it was a little white Southern Baptist church, and I started going by myself, and that's how the history of Southern Baptist became a part of my history. And twice maybe I entered the river there. You know, during whatever the minister was preaching, that inspiration came and I felt that closeness to God. I felt immersed in God, like you're immersed in a river, right? I felt immersed in God. And in the Southern Baptist tradition, you know, they, at the end of the service, they play this music and they ask you to come and accept Jesus as your Savior. And I was so immersed in God that I went up and I said, I'm here. I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. You know, I want this being wet to last. And I was saved, as they say, and my baptism was scheduled, and I was baptized at a Sunday night service. But then somehow it wore off. that wetness, I guess I didn't stay in the river as a 12-year-old girl. That wetness did not last. I somehow got out of the river without knowing what I was doing and dried off without realizing what I was doing. And then suddenly I noticed I'm standing here and I'm dry. I liked the feeling of being wet. I want to be immersed in the river again. And one day, again, I must have been incredibly inspired. And what I realize now is probably what happened is that as the minister was speaking on certain days, what he said so captured me that my judging mind ceased and I just listened. This is probably what happened. My judging mind ceased and I just listened. I was totally open. And so on another day, this happened again. And another day, I don't know how long later, maybe 6 months later, I felt immersed. And some idea in the mind said, I must not have done it right the first time. I must not have been fully sincere the first time. And so at the end of the service, when they played the music and said, come up if you want to be saved, I went up again. And, you know, and accepted Christ as my Savior again. And after the service, the preacher said to me, you know, you've already been baptized. And I told him, I said, I don't think I did it right the first time, you know, because something wore off and I want to be baptized again. And so the way I remembered is he said something like, okay, but this is the last time. And so I was baptized again. And then, of course, as you know, as you can imagine in this story, my judging mind at some time came back. And then I didn't have understanding about what was causing me to feel immersed. I did not understand how I went into the river. And therefore, I did not understand how I was exiting the river and becoming dry again. I didn't understand that it was my openness and my welcoming of everything that was also the river. I didn't understand that being the river is the same as entering the river. Again, you know, what we just heard when Kathy was reading is the river doesn't judge. The river doesn't say, "I'm sorry, sir, but you have raped children. You have murdered women. You have stolen from men. You are not allowed to come into me." The river doesn't say that. The river just is. And if one enters the river, they get wet. You see, the river has no judgment. The river cannot help but be welcoming. There is no part of the river that has the ability to raise a gate and say, "Not you." Or, "Not on this day." Or, "Not under these circumstances." Or, "No, because of your thoughts." Or, "No, because you believe wrongly." The river doesn't even have that ability. When I adopt within myself an ability that is unlike the river, I do not know the river in those moments. So if I am judging, "No, you're wrong. No, you're bad." Whether I'm judging a person or whether I'm judging a thought in my own mind or an emotion that's currently being experienced in this body. If I'm judging, "No, you're bad. No, you're wrong. No, you shouldn't be here." I get out of the river. And I become dry. And I don't know the experience of the river. If I say, "The circumstances must look like this. You must believe this certain way, or you must follow this certain spiritual path process, or you must, you know, at least be trying for this long." You know, you have to have at least been on a spiritual path for some period of time before you can enter the river. As soon as I set up those conditions, I am then unlike the river itself. And being unlike the river itself, I do not experience the river. I get out of the river. See, I didn't know this when I was 12. So I didn't know why this feeling of being wet came over me in the pews of a little white Southern Baptist church in Pittsburgh, Kansas. And I didn't know why it left. My only thought was I must have done it wrong. My thought was that when I entered the river, somehow the river would hold on to me. But the river doesn't even have that ability. Just like the river does not have the ability to push away and say, "No, not you," the river does not have the ability to cling. It's me. I'm the one that enters the river by being like the river. And I'm the one that leaves the river by being unlike the river. And you know what? I can do it multiple times a day. I can be in and out of the river throughout the day. And now I'm reminded of my prayer. You know, my prayer was about my oath. I took an oath on Friday, I believe it was. Danielle was the witnesser of my oath. I took an oath to be happy no matter what. And that idea came from the book, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. It's one of the chapters in the book. He recommends this as one of the possible ways to awaken. One of the possible paths to awaken is simply to take an oath to be happy no matter what. But he says you have to mean it, and it has to be completely unconditional. No matter who dies, no matter what illness comes, no matter whether there is or isn't money, no matter whether people behave the way you want them to or don't behave the way you want them to. It has to be an unconditional oath to be happy. And then, of course, he does help us to understand what be happy is, which I talked about in the prayer. It's remaining open, remaining welcoming, remaining accepting. It's remaining like the river. And, you know, he says in this book that if you take this oath, there will be times when you'll notice that you begin to close. You may even notice yourself close completely. That's like getting out of the river. And he says that if you take the oath and you really mean it, then when you notice that you've done this, you respond by opening and by welcoming whatever it is you were about to say no to. And as soon as you open, you re-enter the river. You may re-enter the river crying, mourning, because someone has died, and mourning is the response you are welcoming. But you are wet and mourning simultaneously. You may enter the river allowing a feeling of unsure. And along with that feeling of unsure, there may be an experience of fear. But instead of closing to that experience of fear, instead of resisting that experience of fear, you open to that experience of fear. There's a movie that I haven't seen, and I might even have the wrong name to the movie, and if anyone, as I talk about it, if you know I have the wrong name and you want to correct me, please do. I think it's called Ella the Enchanted, something like that. It's a movie that I have not seen. I only saw one scene from the movie about Cinderella, who enters into our world. And she is happy. She has that naturally happy, naturally welcoming attitude in this world. So she's in New York City, and even as she runs across scenes in that city that the average human would judge and say was bad and that shouldn't be and you should do it differently, she was happy and she was welcoming. But at some point, she was with a man. I didn't see the movie. It's just called Enchanted with Amy Adams. Okay. At some point she was with a man. I didn't see the movie. I only saw this scene somewhere. And I don't know how she was with this guy. Was it Patrick Dempsey she was with? She was with this man and she got angry at him. At some point her mind did judge him and she became very, very angry at him. She wasn't open to whatever he said or whatever he did and she became very angry. But then she looked at that and she goes, this is what anger feels like. And she immediately became happy again. You see, she opened up to that entire experience. Then within herself, she was embracing whatever he did that was the catalyst for her to have an experience of feeling angry. And in that moment, she re-entered happiness or re-entered the river. So what I loved about this reading, and the reason I asked Cindy to send it to me and I asked Kathy to read it, was that it reminds me to be the river. It reminds me to let go of any judgment I might have about how things are supposed to be, how people are supposed to be, how I am supposed to be, and just to stay absolutely open. And if I stay absolutely open, I am the river. And if I am the river, I cannot be separate or absent from it. So now it's time for our open meditation. The song that I've selected today is called simply Gateway. It's a Native American flute song from a CD called Mystic Sky. As I play this song, you're invited to contemplate or meditate on the idea presented through the reading and the teaching. Also, Barb will be sharing a link so that if you feel to, you can go and donate to Awakening Together.
Thank you.
think that song just flowed into the next, so I turned it down there so that otherwise we would be spending the rest of our time listening to the CD, which I'm sure would be nice. But there's something else that is also nice that we have the opportunity to move on to, and that is our open sharing, our open mic time. We have about 12 minutes for open sharing. So anyone who would like to take the mic, especially if your purpose is to discuss anything that came to you during the contemplation or meditation, during the teaching or during the reading, please just put up your hand and I'll release the mic to you. All right, Barb, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I hope everybody can hear me. What came to me in listening to this morning was, was my focus right now is to really focus on present moment and to be vigilant for thoughts of the past or the future that start to cross my mind. And it seems to me that that practice works well with letting life flow through you and just letting it be. I guess if I call resistance of anything, it's really just stopping those thoughts before they start to develop. For me, because the thoughts start creating stories, making stories up that interrupt that flow. So it seems to me that it would be that these two practices would work well together, because it does allow for the present moment just to be whatever it is. Anyway, that's what I thought I would share, and that's what this brought up for me. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Barb. Let's see, I'm watching Lightfeather has typed, "What came to me is the river is oneness, and I am always invited to be with and allow that oneness." And Dove has typed, "Your patience with your brother is your patience with yourself. Is not a child of God worth patience?" Tay, the mic is yours.
Well, Regina, good morning, everybody. This has been my first time to Church of Awakening, and it has just been marvelous. I've always wanted to go join a church, and boy, it comes right to me at home. So I am really, really thankful. And this story about this remaining wet, wow, be the river, wow, goes together with exactly how I've been feeling lately. So thank you so much for that story. I mean, I'm going to go back and read it and contemplate on it some more, Regina. Today has just been a fantastic morning. I don't know how it is that I am led here, but I am just led in the right time to listen to the right sermon, and I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tay. It's a delight to have you here with us. Tay, of course, I've known Tay for a long time, sort of, you know, online. We met in person in Santa Barbara in May at what was called an intimate gathering with Regina. But then Tay went with me to India, and we spent 2 weeks in India. And so, of course, being together in that flow for 2 weeks, we are now much more acquainted with one another. Yeah, sisters. Who else would like to share? We still have about 9 minutes available for open sharing. I do see people in the room I do not know, so if there's anyone here who would just like to introduce themselves, I also invite you to do that. If you know you might be unknown as a person to me, you know our paths have not really crossed so that I would know who you are, feel free to introduce yourself. Lightfeather is Gloria. Hello, Gloria. It's wonderful to meet you.
Hello,
Angelica is writing, after having some technical problems, I was finally able to listen in. Thank you so much for a wonderful talk, and the meditation was very peaceful. Welcome, Angelica. And I've seen Angelica's name recently. She ordered a book, I believe. Yeah, Angelica from Scotland. Okay. So I'll tell you what, some of the people who are in the room who I don't think I know, if I do know you, I don't realize it by your name. And if you feel like it, you can raise your hand and introduce yourself or type something about yourself in the room. As I go down the list, the first person I'm not sure I know is Carrie Comp, Light 42 Day, Holy Us. Now, Jim and I have seen you around, but I'm not certain I know your name. But you definitely have seen you around. Ashima. Annie, I think I know who you are. Annie smiles. New Life, ACIM. That's it. Okay, so Jim and I is Patrick. Ah, hello, Patrick. Joe Schmidt says, hi, my name's Joe. Gloria is writing, you said that it is okay to have feelings that are not like the river and still be able to enter the river. What do we do with those feelings? Watch them? Yes. And another word I would say is be with them. Or welcome them. In fact, for many of us, that's how we find ourselves going into the river. Some people, as it mentioned in the reading, some people just accidentally fall off a pier. They don't even realize they're near a river. You know, they just keep backing up, and accidentally they fall in. But for some of us, it's much more deliberate. We know we want to enter the river, but we have all this stuff. We have these thoughts, we have these emotions that cause us to feel so closed up, maybe angry, maybe depressed, maybe fearful, maybe jealous, maybe something else. And we know that this is not the river. And we keep resisting those feelings, thinking that the way to get into the river is to push these feelings away. If I could just stop being angry, if I could just stop being hateful, if I could just stop being fearful, stop being depressed. And we keep pushing against those emotions, or pushing against particular thoughts that show up in the mind. But the river, remember, doesn't push against anything. Remember, I mentioned the river would welcome the man who has raped many children, killed many women, and robbed from many men. And if that person entered the river has no way of saying no. So what we need to see is that we're saying no to experiences within ourself or thoughts within ourself. And in saying no, we are being unlike the river. So you want to just open up to those experiences, open up to the experience of anger, like Cinderella did in Enchanted. Just allow it to be, is what I mean by open it up. Open up to it. It may still feel unpleasant in the process, because some experiences have an unpleasant feel to them. So we open up, we allow the unpleasant feel. And somehow, though this is nothing that can be explained to the intellectual mind, it doesn't make sense to the intellectual mind, somehow, miraculously, in the process of opening up to that, which we judge as unpleasant, not favorable, shouldn't be here. Somehow opening up and allowing it transforms it. Yeah, and Angelica is saying it can be so scary to open up and stay open, and it can be. And that's why some of us enter the river in the same way that we enter a very, very cold ocean. We enter a little, our toes start to hurt. You should see me in the New England Ocean. I wasn't raised around that cold water. I enter a little, only up to maybe my ankles and my feet start to hurt and I run out. and then I go in and I stay a little longer, and then I run out, and then I go in and I stay a little longer and go a little deeper. And some of us enter the river that way, and you know what? That's okay. So if we're able to be open to these emotions and open to whatever the experience is, and then we find ourselves closing, that's just like running out again. And then when we're ready, we say, okay, I'm ready to try it again. And we wade back in a little bit, and we stay just a little bit, and then we run out again. But that's okay. You know what happens if we keep doing that is we eventually get used to the water, which means we get used to being open without closing. We get used to being welcoming without judging. And eventually we find ourselves completely immersed in the water. Remember, there's not just one way to enter. Going in and out, a little more each time is a way to enter the river. So that's okay. That's okay. And we still have 2 minutes left, if anyone else. Yeah, Kathy's saying, won't go in past the waist. That's how many of us start off. Won't go in. I'll welcome this and this and this, but I won't welcome that. That's like not going in past the waist. And then eventually we realize, I want to go in deeper. And we begin to welcome even that, which we said we would not welcome. Yeah, I realize you're talking about if it's cold. I'm just taking advantage of your comment to share an example. Annie, the mic is yours.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you. Actually, there's just been a kind of conflict in my mind, knowing all minds are joined, but yet wondering how my mind, this fragment, could be joined with, in fact, I spoke about it on Thursday, with someone who commits murder or rape or whatever. And the clarity that you speak clarity, and I don't really know how to explain it, because it's like it goes beyond the intellect. There's a knowing that happens, and it's interesting that, well, it's not interesting. It's becoming almost normal for me to ask, how do I remove this block? And then I'm led to, the answers. And this room, what you're doing, is just so wonderful. I don't really have the words to say it, but there's a lot of gratitude here. So thank you so much. I was listening before I came in the room. I was listening on the radio and enjoying it so much. It's just beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Annie. And of course, we're very, very happy that you've joined us here in the room. As far as the teaching goes, you said something about it, you know, it seemed to be from beyond the intellect, and it is. Before I open my mouth to speak, I have no idea myself what I'm going to say. No matter how much it sounds like it's coming from me, I had no idea I was going to go back to the memory of being a child. I hadn't, you know, I know nothing. Kathy wrote to me about the reading. She said she's been contemplating the reading and she couldn't wait to see what I was going to say about it. And within myself, I laughed and I said, I can't wait either. And in fact, anytime the mind tries to think about what I might say about the reading, because I do know what reading it will be in advance, I tell the mind, not now. It's not time. It's not time. So I purposefully come with an empty mind and open my mouth, and then that which is meant to come comes. So it does not come from the intellect, and that is why it is able to come from beyond the intellect. It comes in the moment spontaneously. With that said, I'm going to share a song now, again by Deva Primal and Mitten. This one is called Empty Heart. The very first time I heard this song, I liked the tune, I liked the sound, but I closed up to the words, empty heart. I didn't want, in my mind, my judging mind, I didn't want an experience of what sounded like empty heart. I wanted an experience of what sounded like full heart. And I didn't like these words. But as I let go of my judgment and I opened up and I listened to the song with openness, I saw that what the song really shows is that emptiness and fullness are the same. They are the same. Or we could say that which this song points to transcends the ideas of empty and full. So, one of my new favorite songs, Empty Heart. To echo some of the gratitude I see on the board. Thank you very much, Kathy, for sharing the reading today. I'd like to say thank you, Cindy, for bringing the reading to our attention. If I heard Cindy correctly, it was something that she had transcribed a long time ago from a Sounds True Audio, and then it somehow became lost in a pile of papers in her home, and recently she ran across it again. So thank you, Universe, for allowing Cindy to run across this again and bring it to our attention. I want to thank everyone for being here, being a part of Awakening Together, sharing our purpose with us. I will post the river on awakening-together.org. You'll be able to find it under Inspiration Awakening Together blog. Give me about 15 minutes to get that done, and then it will be there for you. Now it is time for our social hour, which is led by Lynn Johnson. So, Lynn, I turn the mic over to you. Thank you, everyone.